This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to our program. It's good to have you along. We are talking today about the issues that are facing Pennsylvania. Senator Linda Schlegel-Culver of the 27th Senatorial District joins us. Now, her district does cover a pretty wide area, parts of Columbia, Luzerne, Montour, Northumberland, and Snyder County. She was elected in January of 2023 in a special election and then reelected for a full term the year following. Senator Culver, thanks for being with us on the program. If we could begin by looking at some aspects of our state budget that passed rather late, but Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are often seen as being unfairly benefited by our state's budgets. And I wondered if you could address some specific areas that you fought for that would show the rest of us benefiting as well.
We've been working on a tax credit for families for years. And it would impact every Pennsylvanian, not just in my district, but those that are workers, but struggling to get by. It's money that would come back to them that they could use for, a pair of glasses for the dentist, to help pay a utility bill or a fuel bill. Just kind of helping people, you know, I would say rewarding that good behavior. And we finally were able to get that in the budget this year. And we're hoping that that program grows. And one of the questions I always get is, if the program grows, how do we fund it? And I said, well, the hope is that we get more people off of our welfare system and get them moved into that system where they're, you know, independent, and that we can keep moving them forward, you know, towards success, towards independence. So that's our goal with that. We're always fighting for projects back here. We've had several grant rounds that went through recently. And, you know, I always say it's the stuff that no one's interested in. But it's your water, it's your sewer, it's your roads until they don't work, right? No one's interested until they don't work. So we were able to bring with the House delegation locally significant amounts of dollars back to help large and small municipalities. And that helps them because then they don't have to raise taxes on folks back here.
Yeah, I know I've been reading a lot of stories in the news in recent weeks talking about those individual projects that, you know, again, if you don't live in that particular area, you're not really thinking of it, but if you live there, you're probably pretty happy.
Yeah, and some of the most important things are just those infrastructure needs. I mean, can you imagine going to the sink to wash your hands and there's no water coming out or it's brown? If you go to flush the toilet and it no longer flushes, it's important, you know, our infrastructure. And as you know, we're in that freeze-thaw cycle as our roads need attention. And it's hard sometimes for municipalities to raise those. And we were just really happy to support them.
Talk about a bit about the healthcare situation locally. I know from my perspective, it's become more difficult to, you know, do interviews with hospitals because they're all owned by somebody else, and it's the local nature is gone. Do you find that being a problem? That this company's owned this hospital, and you don't feel like it's a hometown anymore.
Well, you know, we lived through the Sunbury and Berwick hospitals closing, which is devastating for any community. And, you know, we're a commonwealth, so we already believe about local control. We're very local. It's hard to see that. And when you see an entity as large as Geisinger having to be, you know, purchased, you know all those other smaller hospitals. And, you know, Evan was shortly thereafter, you know, WellSpan's now the owner. Both seem committed to our communities, but as you know, you always worry if they're not physically here, what can or can't happen. But that's currently the trend, and we're trying to figure out how do we make healthcare more local. Healthcare is so expensive, just from drawing your blood to seeing the physician to the facility cost to the CAT scan, the X-ray machines, the MRI machines are so expensive. And I mean, frankly, the rates that we're reimbursing them with Medicaid and Medicare, which I'm not in charge of, the federal government is, isn't enough to pay for all that they need. So I think we're going to be in this crisis for a little while, and we have to figure out how do we get ourselves out of this.
As someone who's hopefully not old yet, but on the edge of old, I'm thinking about these things more and more. But you know, how do your constituents Do you have a lot of concern about that, that's voiced to you?
That they're getting the care that they need?
Yeah, some have to go, obviously, especially with Sunbury Hospital.
I mean, this area is much more blessed than some other parts of the state where they're driving, you know, an hour or more to receive care. I mean, we just had down in the Philadelphia area, my aunt lives down there. She's having to drive into Philadelphia instead of outside of where she was because they closed a lot of hospitals. You know, we do it on a case-per-case basis when people call. You know, we refer to, there's clinics out there that are free health clinics. We'll call the hospital and say this person can't get in, there's a need. Hospitals are pretty good. That's their job, healthcare. I know we think of these things as big units, but at the heart of it all, our nurses, our doctors, any of our caregivers care about the patients and the people here. So as we see things happen, we try to make contacts and try and get ahead of them.
Okay. I began by asking about the budget for this year, which took forever. Was that a record this year till it was done? No, not even a record.
I think the record was December 23rd, and I think once year it was signed in January.
Okay. Wow. Is that because of the such closely divided nature? Is that what's going on?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure what it was. I know there's a lot of issues. I know there were some things that, you know, parties weren't completely agreeing on. I honestly just think they needed time to work it out. I know people want to blame one party or the other, but if you would ask the governor, the leadership on the House side or the Senate side, they had very cordial conversations. There was no yelling, no screaming. They agree on some issues, and that's what they're trying to identify first. What do we agree on? Let's do that, and then we'll tackle the things we're not agreeing on or the harder issues as we go. In retrospect, I mean, it always makes us nervous when we get after that June 30th date. And it hurts a lot of nonprofits, a lot of schools. We get very concerned, a lot of individuals, students receiving grants. But the end product, I really, truly thought was really a compromise. From all ends, all angles, I thought they got to the best product that they could get to. There's a lot of issues. I mean, we're concerned about the future, not just this particular budget. And we wanted to make sure we didn't make decisions that would be detrimental to the tax base in a year or two. And that was some of the, you know, back and forth. But yeah, I thought all delegations and the governor worked very well together.
There's always talk of the rainy day fund. Where does that stand? Is that still there, or have we eaten into that?
We were able to preserve it.
Okay.
Keep money, you know, the interest and stuff going back into it. And Pennsylvania was in a really bad place, I would say 8 to 10 years ago. And I sat on a commission for transportation, and we were talking to other states. And when we talked to Texas in particular, they were telling us what fund they had in the rainy day fund, and they had billions. We were down to just a couple million at that point. And we were embarrassed after their reaction to what we had saved. I mean, we need in an emergency to be able to have money for government to function in order for us to get money out to schools, for us to get money out to nonprofits, so that they can function. So it's really important. It's like a savings account. If you have no savings account and, you know, your tire goes, your engine blows, and you have no money, where are you getting it? And honestly, we're getting it from the pockets of the taxpayers. So that savings account, that rainy day account, is for when it's pouring here. And we hope that can continue to grow. And it actually helps with, you know, like when we take a loan or we get a bond rating, us having that savings there saves taxpayers money. So that's why it's so important.
Okay. Is that money, is a an idea of what would be considered a rainy day, kind of like when the economy's too bad and you're not getting the tax money in and it just sort of feeds on itself?
No, we're thinking of like an emergency situation.
Okay.
In Pennsylvania. You may have to take for it for something else, but we're truly thinking an emergency situation that we can prepare for what we know is coming, what are our tax base looks like, and then we should be right-sizing and looking at other ways to conserve dollars so that we can support, you know, the people in the best way possible.
Any issues that since you've been in office, whether it be just the Senate or Senate and House combined, that you've changed on, or maybe your constituents have changed on to say, hey, this is really what we want?
That's a good question. I mean, you're always learning. If you're open to it, you're always learning on a topic. And the way we provide services or the way we spend money is always changing because people's needs are always changing. I can't think off the top of my head of something that has like completely, you know, flipped from where it was originally. Always willing to listen and always willing to figure out how do we solve this to the best of the ability. And always trying to leave that room that we're not so rigid with a piece of legislation that we can't keep up with the times and then we're holding people back because we were so rigid with a piece of legislation.
I know, 10 years ago they talked about medical marijuana and some people were opposed to that, but then kind of came around. And I assume you haven't done that on recreational, though.
Yeah. I mean, overall, my constituency is still no on recreational. And if you've been reading some of the data coming out on marijuana use as a whole, whether it's medical or recreational, what we tend to forget, the studies we have for over 40 years are from the 1960s and 70s, when THC levels were 11%. At the time we passed medical marijuana, they were in the 30s, like 32 to 37 is where I want to remember. Now it can be up to 100% THC. We don't have studies on that. But studies are starting to come out about psychosis and psychotic events for people who are using it. There's been studies on the developing brain of a child. If you're looking at this medically, if you're using marijuana as a medical tool like you would any other prescriptive drug, every drug has a side effect, has a consequence. You just have to decide, is that consequence better than dealing with, your disease or the issue that you're dealing with? No, I have not changed my mind on that. I mean, a lot of parents, a lot of children who helped us see through the medical piece of it for marijuana, but recreationally, I can't.
If you tuned in late, we want to remind you we're talking with 27th Senatorial District Senator Linda Schlegel-Culver today on the WPGM Community Forum, talking about some of the issues facing Pennsylvania as we get into this new year. Senator, let's move on to the Journey to Justice organization and what they do. We had them on the program a couple of months ago. Now, the group was formed as a response to people being abused in a nursing facility in Lewisburg. And the Journey to Justice folks are out there advocating for these people now and advocating for changes in the law. Are there some things that they have worked with you on already in regards to this?
Yes, we've been working on it for, I want to say, a year and a half. And kudos to that entire Journey to Justice and Lynn Fiedler for taking something that you could have just wallowed in the sadness of it and the tragedy of it and just took it and want to make it better for any other human being, actually, not just the senior citizen. And they've done an amazing job. And legislation's been tricky, and we thought we had it all done because we don't want to introduce it with any unintended consequences or we want to make sure we had it right. And here we find out right before we went to introduce it, it affected two sections of the code. So we had to separate out senior citizens from those with special needs. So we are pursuing them. I can't answer it. My legislative director's in the other room. She can tell us we were getting ready to introduce it, but Lynn was out of country. We wanted to do it when she was in country because we thought a lot of people would have questions for her. It's imminent within the next, I think, few weeks that it will be introduced. And we are going to try and get that through committee and keep working on it.
Okay. Yeah, we had talked to her probably months now, but I promised her I would bring that up when I talk to you because it is such a big issue, and if folks don't know about it, they need to, and like she said, that's why she wears her Journey to Justice sweatshirt, increases that awareness.
I mean, incredible tragedy. She's tenacious, and she is not going to let this happen to anybody else, and if you think it can't happen to you, to a loved one, it can. I mean, I think she's living proof. And I think she's probably one of the most careful, thorough people I've ever met. And yet it still happened. So I think her goal in life is to make sure it never happens to anybody again, to make sure there is awareness out there. So if you have to place a loved one, you're asking the right questions, you're in there doing the right things. And we think this is just one step this piece of legislation, and we're going to keep working on legislation until we feel every Pennsylvanian is protected.
As far as any other big issues that you're looking at in 2026 that you hope to see addressed or are pushing to have addressed?
Well, Lynn's or Journey to Justice is our top priority. We are still looking at legislation for a tax credit for those who donate a kidney or an organ to another individual. If anybody doesn't know, I'm a recipient of a kidney, and it is hard on the donor. It's time off work. It's tests. It's more tests. It's retests. It's the entire time. It's time off work for recovery. But the amount of dollars they save the taxpayers by donating is very large. And it saves Medicare. It saves private insurance. It makes people more productive. So we're going to be working on that this year as we go. There's several pieces we have in the works, but I would say those two at this point are our top priority. I did make a list because I knew you'd be asking me this question. So, yeah, we have the Live-In Organ Donor Tax Credit. We have the law establishment of a statewide elder abuse registry. Another one that came from a constituent of ours is electronic monitoring devices in long-term care facilities. And it would allow family members to check in on their loved one. They can do it now if the nursing home participates and the family member and, you know, who's in the nursing home and the family wants to do it. But it assures you that they're getting the care that they need, they're getting their medications, they're getting fed, they're getting turned, that there's no abuse going on. That one's a little trickier because there's a privacy issue that goes with it, but we're going to work on that. Another one we have is a bill establishing a remote maternal health monitoring program for moms that are high risk, moms that have diabetes, moms that have high blood pressure, don't have to keep going into the hospital because, as we talked about earlier in the interview, some hospitals are closing and it's harder to get there. This would get them the care that they need and not always having to go to the hospital for it.
Any anecdotes in closing of, you know, kind of unusual requests that you've had to deal with without, you know, mentioning names or anything, but I'm sure there's things that you never thought you'd deal with that come up. Has that been the case?
That's every day.
Okay.
I always tell people when they start working with us that when you pick up that phone, it sounds like they're speaking a language you can understand, but you have no idea what they're saying to you because they're using acronyms or it's a problem you've never heard of. I mean, there's new problems every day with people. I can't say that there is a problem that isn't challenging for us or, you know, we always want to help solve them. But I think every day we get something new that we've never heard of. And I've been doing this a long time. And it doesn't shock me. And I think the biggest comment I can make to people, don't assume I know what is going on with you or your family or, you know, with your schooling. Make sure you come talk to me about it. Because if I'm not personally experiencing it and no one else has said anything, this will go on unless you say something. So it's important to advocate for yourself, advocate for your community, and make sure we actually know what's going on. It helps us make better decisions, helps us allocate money better, and frankly, it makes me personally a better legislator when you're communicating with me.
And that's all we've got for you today. We have appreciated you joining us to listen to our discussion with State Senator Linda Schlegel-Culver of the 27th Senatorial District. Again, even if she's not your senator, hopefully we've covered some issues that do matter to you, wherever you are. We appreciate you joining us, and we appreciate Senator Culver taking some time out of her busy schedule to be with us on the WPGM Community Forum. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.